Welcome to the Guthrie America podcast. We sit down with the amazing people who do life in our community and who are from here. We believe every story should be told. I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, ladies and gentlemen, today, for the first time ever, I sit down with a legit boxer. A real deal, meaning that he gets in the ring and does it and might earn a little bit of cash with that. That means he's a real deal. Ladies and gentlemen, you see him. Are you about to hear him if you don't see him? I'm sitting down with Alfred Ratcliffe. Before we jump into this episode, though, into this conversation, would you please go ahead and hit the subscribe button on Apple, Google, YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And definitely have to say thank you, thank you, thank you to my friends at State Farm. Kevin Kraft and his team are amazing. I just recently had to get more coverage for a home of mine. And all I did was send him an email. Actually, my wife sent an email. Kevin took care of us. Angela jumped in there, helped us out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Kevin, for supporting us in trying to reach our mission of having every story told. Also, North Church Guthrie, thank you. Thank you, thank you to my family at North Church for continuing to support the passion that I have to tell stories, because I believe our stories connect us. It's what makes us awesome. Alfred, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Bro, I'm doing good, man. I'm you know, we host this in my living room, so I'm at home, I'm chilling, but I get to do something I love, which is connect with people like yourself. So I'm good, man. I've eaten too much today. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've eaten way too much. Let me just tell you all, listen to me, Alfred. I came home. Have you ever been in a place where you're hungry, but you've already ordered food? And you got to wait for that food to get done or get here. And you go ahead and indulge in something else before that food comes.
You got to finish, though. You got to finish strong.
That's what I'm saying. I ate that, then I came around and I ate the food that was coming or that we had cooking. And so, and then I ate some, what is that called?
Popeye?
No. Rotel. And so, but it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, even though I'm not watching Super Bowl, but it's on. It's around. It's the atmosphere. So how you doing?
I'm doing good. Staying busy. Always busy.
Yeah, always busy. I'm grateful that you're here. Go ahead and tell us, like, if your family, siblings, or whoever was sitting here and I said, man, tell me, Alfred, tell me, how would they describe you?
It depends on which person you ask.
Let's go with. How would your mom describe you?
Hardworking.
Okay.
Hardworking and a good father.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. A good father. Talking about being a father, how many children?
I have four boys.
Four boys. What's the ages?
9, 6, 3, and 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
You still in the thick of it. You're in the early stage, 6 months.
Yes, sir.
But 6 months, are they sleeping through the night?
He tries. Okay. He does his best.
Yeah. Now, four boys, like, are you going for a girl? Are you going to keep going until?
I mean, you know, whatever happens, but.
You're not intentionally trying to go for a girl.
No, at some point we got to cut it off.
Yeah, enough of this. Man, what's your favorite thing about being a father?
Just being able to spend time with them and watch them grow and seeing the people that they're becoming and the things that they're learning and just being able to watch life from their perspective.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. What's the hardest part about being a father?
Having a three-year-old. Having a three-year-old.
It's rough.
It's not easy, man. Those toddlers, you know, they're a handful.
Yeah, they're the ones that keep you on your feet probably the most.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
for sure. For sure, for sure. Can you tell me, so your first child, your first time you get ready to find, you find out you're going to have your first child. What was the emotions? What was that like? I'm always curious about that.
Just nervous, you know, the nerves and wondering if, because, you know, when you're growing up and you're a teenager and everybody tells you how hard it is. And it's just wondering if what to expect from the situation and needing that reinforcement of understanding that you can handle it no matter how difficult it is. It's just something you all, everyone will have to learn about themselves at some time.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. I remember when my wife came and told me my first biological kid, I had a, my wife had a child whenever we got married. So he's my son. But when I heard my first biological, like we were going to have another one, man, I was like, I just sat in the chair. I think I took off work the next day. I was just so like, what in the world? It was just something. It was crazy for me. And then we had, I have three children and then we have a daughter. But yeah, it was pretty wild. Now most parents won't, but I do. I say which child is my favorite. Are you like that? Are you, like you leave that alone?
We got to wait for them to grow up first, see who they become before I can pick.
You say it's too early to start naming.
It's too early. Yeah.
That's good. That's smart. That's wisdom, Albert. That's wisdom. Now, tell me, so you grew up in Guthrie.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, by the time you were growing up, when I grew up in Guthrie, we would do like bikes. Like everybody would, like you just have to have a bike. It'd be like 50, 40 people deep riding around. That was kind of like our thing growing up here, getting on bikes and riding around. When you were growing up in Guthrie, I feel like there was a change. Was y'all still riding bikes and
doing
that?
We still rode bikes a little bit, but we were just more of playing ball outside with our friends, going to the pool and swimming. And
now, did you go to Highland?
Yes, sir.
Okay, got you. Yeah, whenever I grew up, Highland was a big deal. It was just a dollar to get in. And so when we would go twice. You'd have the afternoon, and then you'd have like the later evening.
Because they take that break in the middle.
They take the break in the middle, right? Yes, and it was really a big deal. But like, man, it seems like you go over there now, it's not like there's not very many people over there. But, man, it used to be jam-packed when I was growing
up. I think that's just a part of times changing.
Yeah.
Because even, like, back when I was a kid, you know, it was more like go outside and just go play. And we could go play freely.
Yeah.
They kept an eye on us, but they really didn't have to. We could kind of, you know, make our way around town on our own.
Yeah.
Now you kind of just want to keep your eyes on your kids more. And sometimes it might be easier to just take them to the splash pad and to have them in the pool.
Yeah. No, this is true. They didn't have splash pads when I was growing up. And probably not when you were.
No, not at all.
Yeah, didn't have splash pad either. But, you know, it's funny that you say that. My daughter is like, she's 16. She's about to be 17. And like, she asked to walk somewhere one day. And I was like, no, you can't walk. Can't walk downtown by yourself. Like back in the day, we was all over town by ourselves and everything.
As long as you made it home before it got dark.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We was all over town. And you know, it's not that I don't think Guthrie's not safe at all by any means. It's just something about my daughter.
Something that's with the time.
Yeah. Like me just let my daughter walk by herself would just drive me crazy. So when you were in elementary, how did it work? Because you didn't have neighborhood schools.
So, right. I went to kindergarten and first grade at Cotterill, and then I went to Central for second grade, and I went to Fogarty for third grade. Then we went to Guest for fourth, fifth, and sixth, and then the junior high, then the high school.
Got you. Who were some of your favorite teachers growing up?
Colleen Weir is one of my favorite teachers.
Okay, is she still around?
I think she retired.
Okay, I don't know that name, but yeah.
Colleen Golightly.
What school was that?
She was my sixth grade teacher, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Got you. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Scott Mick was a good teacher that I had. I saw you had him on here last week.
Yeah, I just had Scott on. Scott's a good guy. Of course, like Scott definitely wasn't around whenever I was in school. But yeah, Scott seemed like, and I loved talking to him about teaching. He just seemed like he just really had a gifting with it. And so it doesn't surprise me that you would say he's one of your favorites.
He was.
Yeah.
And Coach John Chappell, he was awesome.
What did he teach?
He's a health teacher.
Oh, at the junior high?
Yes, sir.
Yes. He wasn't teaching, man. Be honest.
We learned.
You're so nice. You are a really nice guy. John was not teaching you. Coach Chappell was not teaching you anything. I'm going to make sure he listens to this because I'm not sure about that one. But no. But again, John Chappell, very personable. Guy seems like he really knew how to connect with the students. So I definitely can see that just knowing him. Of course, I never was taught by him, but just with knowing him, really cool. So that's good. Which school was there a school that you came through and you was like, you still kind of probably remember that school more than any of the other ones?
Probably the high school.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just kind of the point in life where you really start to become who you're going to be as an adult. And you really start to see the world for how it is and understand things on a different level.
Yeah. Do you remember being nervous between going from junior high to the high school?
Oh, of course. Everybody is. Everybody is.
It was like the scariest, like, it was something that I probably was thinking about in sixth grade. I hadn't even made it to junior high yet, but then I was just thinking about having to go to the high school.
Because you hear these horror stories from people.
Yes.
And then you get there and you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, you definitely hear those horror stories, and then you're there, like you said, is good. Now, you played several sports.
Yes, sir.
While you were in high school. Now, did you just play because you wanted to connect with friends? Or are you just passionate? I'm assuming you're just an athlete and just enjoyed it since you were a boxer.
I enjoyed it. Loved every minute of every sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it something that you wanted to do when you finished high school, or did you do that?
Yes, it was always something I wanted to do. Just not really sure what, just kind of trying to figure out where I fit in with my skill sets and everything. Cause you know, I'm 5'4". Clearly I ain't playing basketball. I ain't trying out for the Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you just had to find that right one.
Yes, sir.
So you graduate high school, you finish that, you're not playing sports anymore. At some point, you get into boxing.
Yes, sir.
Like, how did that come about?
Well, I was living in the city and I was kind of just needing an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went to this gym and I started studying Shotokan karate.
Okay.
And I did that for a little while. And then one of the guys that came and trained there was an MMA fighter. So he kind of pushed me in the direction to get in there and get my feet wet with it. And I did about three amateur MMA fights, and then I started professional boxing.
Okay, is that a normal transition, MMA to boxing, or?
Yes, sir. Sometimes it is. Most people
go from boxing to MMA.
Yeah, it's just kind of getting in where you fit in. Yeah. I kind of just jumped on whatever opportunity came to me and didn't really complain about it.
Yeah. Which one did you, like, did you just end up enjoying boxing more, or was it just feel like it was more suited for you?
Well, I enjoyed MMA. It was fun. I did pretty good at it. And I want to say 2017, I blew out my knee.
Okay.
So after coming back from that, I figured it'd be easier to get in something where I'm not just getting kicked in the leg or having to fight people trying to grapple me and things like that.
Gotcha. So you decide to stick with boxing. And then at some point, you get to do, I guess, what you would call a professional bout. Like, right? You get to go in.
My first one was professional.
Yeah.
I didn't do any amateur boxing. I jumped straight into pro.
Oh, okay. Now, why did you go straight into pro? Was it just because just the way it fell in place for you, or how did that work?
Well, I was a little bit older than when most people start out, and I kind of had the mindset to where if I'm going to get beat up, might as well get paid for it.
Good mindset.
It only takes one time of sitting there getting beat up and realizing, like, I'm doing this for free.
You're probably less likely to stick with it too if you're doing it for free, right? It
definitely takes a lot of discipline and dedication.
Yeah. Go through, like, before you know that you got a match. Is it a match?
Yes, sir.
When you know you're about to have a match come up, when do you start training? What does your training look like? Maybe tell us, like, what is your gym sessions versus weight sessions? Any of that? What does it look like for you?
Usually I try to consistently stay working out. You know, one thing that you'll always hear in this area of sports is stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Gotcha.
Because at any minute, somebody could call with a fight anywhere, and you always want to be ready. You don't want to have to cut weight at the last minute or not be prepared when an opportunity comes to you, because it's always just a matter of time before that one good opportunity does come.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of on the fighter to make sure that they stay prepared.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What is the hardest part for you when training?
Not having enough time in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you work a full-time job, yes, sir, too, right? You work at EMI.
Yes, sir. And you stay hooked up out there.
Yeah. That's what so sometimes you're working past your normal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not just the 8 to 5.
No, those are just office numbers. So a lot of days we work later than that. Some days we work, you know, we can work anywhere from 8 to 14 hours in a day.
Gotcha. Now, for those people who are watching this, listening to this, don't know what EMI is, and we'll go back to boxing, tell us what EMI is.
EMI stands for Environmental Management Incorporated, and we do hazmat cleanups, and there's a lot of that goes into it, because it could be anything from a semi rolling over and us cleaning up whatever load was in it, whether it be vehicle parts or diesel itself or anything. And we just always are prepared to kind of clean up any mess.
Is some of that because of maybe the chemicals or whatever? Yes, sir. You got to know how to dispose of it and things like
and
that.
And how to handle it and how to work with it and make sure you have on the proper PPE when handling those certain chemicals and being in those situations and knowing what to do.
Yeah. It's kind of made, like, I've learned that there's a lot of different ways you can go into business for yourself. And I would have never thought about, hey, let's figure out how we can make money out of going out and cleaning up messes.
Yeah, clean up stuff nobody wants to clean up.
Yeah, yeah. And then the different areas that y'all do it in, because you don't just do truck spills.
Like, no, sir, it's nationwide spills. Yeah. So when we do like chemical plant spills, or like we work at a lot of OG&E and places like that, and kind of just anywhere where there's a need for it, we'll fill it.
Yeah. Now, raising boys, working a full-time job, getting ready for a match. Sometimes you work long hours.
Yes, sir.
I know the training is challenging and things of that nature. So, like, let's say that you get home late one night. You know you got your kids, but you know you need to get in this training. Are you just going until midnight, 1 a.m. in the morning? Yes, sir. Like, is that how
Yes, sir. When the kids go to sleep, it's time to work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and where do you train here locally?
Yes, sir. I have a gym set up in my garage.
Okay.
So I train there, and then I'll have people come out and train, and have some teenagers to come out and work with me to kind of give them something to do. Because one thing I've noticed that's been a problem since I lived here is there's really nothing for teenagers to do.
Yeah.
There's really not. You know, what are they going to do after school?
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of energy and everything pent up from the day with nowhere to release it.
End up getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even just skateboarding going down the street, you know, it's going to be a nuisance to someone.
Yeah. 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 And so you've invited young people to come in and be a part of that with you.
Yes, sir.
But also then you're training because you're still moving. You're still teaching. Sir. I'm assuming that still helps you get ready for your fights.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. Now, I think I see you sometimes. Is that you running around the temple?
Yes, sir.
You have a group of kids with you, and y'all are running?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bernadette and I were just talking about that. I was like, you know what? I don't think I've seen them in a while. Have y'all been running around the temple?
Not with the weather.
Yeah, okay.
With the weather like this, I usually run by myself, so that way I'm not taking anybody else out or risking them getting sick or slipping on the wet ground.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's smart. Now, in your training, is there weightlifting involved, or is it just strictly boxing and cardio?
Well, like most boxers, if they do lift weights, they don't lift heavy.
Okay.
Because it takes more oxygen to move muscle than it does to even move fat. So really, people that have a lot of more muscle to them, it's harder for them to last longer in a fight because they'll usually gas out faster.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So I guess that's the reason, like, when you see a lot of boxers, like some of them may look rip up, but they don't look like they're overly
muscular.
Yeah, muscular. Yeah. That's cool. Like, who's some of your favorite fighters?
Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, like Floyd Mayweather. I love Tyson Fury.
Okay. So what like did you? Because how were you with Tyson? Was boxing?
I was a little kid.
Yeah, you were a kid.
I was a little kid.
Did somebody kind of tell you about it? Or is this you, even as a kid, you just remembered him? What? Or did you go back and look
growing
at some of the stuff?
Growing up, man, there ain't no way you're not going to know who Mike Tyson is.
If nothing else, you had Mike Tyson punch out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. Man, I remember when Mike Tyson first got beat by Buster Douglas. At first, not that – I don't know why it was, but I just never – sometimes I'm like one of those persons, like when I see somebody just constantly, I'm like, please just let somebody else win because it's getting boring seeing the same. It was never boring with Mike Tyson.
No,
I just
want
to always see him win. Yeah. And he was a, what kind of fighter would you say Mike Tyson was?
Very smart.
Okay.
You know, very smart. He used the way that his body was built to his advantage. Mm. Being a shorter heavyweight, he made sure he was always in good shape and can move and can keep up with these bigger guys that were in shape. And, you know, really, I like him more because of his story and seeing where he came from, especially to where he is now. And, you know, the changes he had to go through to become a better person, to be able to make a difference in this world.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, let's go back. Let's go back a little bit about Guthrie and just some things about you around Guthrie. Now, if there's a parade, 89er parade, homecoming parade or whatever, do you and your family have a parade spot? Like, is there a spot that y'all always go to?
Oh, man, you should know better than that. You kind of just get in where you fit in at the parade because it packs so fast. There's really no way to claim a spot like that.
Yeah, unless you're one of those people who are going to get there really early. You say, no, I'm not doing that. No. Yeah, you just kind of show up and get in place wherever you're going to go. Man, what has 89ers meant for you and your family? Like, not in a sense of just what 89ers means, but just – the idea of getting together with family and things like that, was that what it was for you all?
Oh, yeah, always has been. And, you know, it's always a really good time of the year because not even just the family, but everybody in the town comes together. Mm-hmm. And it's like they all get together to do something special for the town and to kind of put it out there. And it's really cool. It's really special.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's something that I look forward to. I can always just get on a bike or something like that and just go around town, different pockets, and see people that I hadn't seen in a long time. And that's 89 is really special because of that for me and my family. Tell me now, were you part of any of the championship football teams?
Yes, sir. In 2007.
Okay, I never won the championship.
Yes, sir.
We got close in 1992, but we did not win. What was it like and what did that mean to you winning a state championship?
It was really cool. It's something that will always hold special to me because, granted, they did it after, but at the same time, like, doing it the way we did it then, it'll never be done like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really special group of young men, and we had a lot of fun together.
Who were some of the people on that team, that 2007?
We had Kai Staley, okay. Jonathan Washington, Kent McDonald.
Yeah.
Clayton Smith, Dante Foster, LaRon Parker. We had a solid crew out there.
Yeah, no, I remember some of those names. That's for sure. No, that was really good. Yeah, we had never achieved that, and so it was cool to see Guthrie in the 2000s really going after
and then the ones afterwards.
Yeah, and the ones afterwards too as well. Now we got a problem. We have not beat Carl Albert. I had Chris Evans on the podcast the other day. Haven't beat Carl Albert in 6 years. We got to change that. We may have to shoot up some of your kids or something, man.
When they're ready, I hope they are Blue Jays.
You hope that they play football?
Oh, definitely.
I did not let my my oldest son, I don't think I even had to worry about him. My middle son, I never let him play football until I saw when he turned a freshman. I said, you can play if you wanted to. And he just never played. But, Yeah, so you're going to let your boys play?
I'm not going to push them to do anything, but if they want to do it, I'm not going to stop them.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't have stopped. Well, I told him he couldn't play until his freshman, but if he would have wanted to play his freshman year. But by then, he was a tennis player, and so he was all into tennis. And so I never had to worry about him playing football. So so that was cool. Going back to boxing, no weights in the training. What are some of the core things that you do when training for a match?
Do a lot of work on the heavy bag and a lot of running, a lot of low weight lifts, like with really low weight, just working my body out, making sure I stay in shape, a lot of shadow boxing. I'll have people hold mitts for me.
Yeah. Whenever you are in the ring, what is something somebody who's never been in the ring, what is something that you're thinking about? What are some things that you're looking for in the in your opponent? Give us some help us be in the ring for us who are not boxers.
It's the adrenaline starts hitting you when way before you ever walk out. When you're in the back and they start wrapping your hands, that's when it's real. There ain't no turning back.
Yeah,
you know. And then you walk out and you hear the crowd, and you know, you try to get your mind right and get your thoughts together, and just you try to make sure that you go out here and do the best that you can, no matter what the outcome is. And
yeah,
a lot of that comes from it, the training beforehand and just knowing you're prepared. If you know you're prepared when you step into it, you're going to have a way better outcome whether you win or lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you study your opponents and kind of just looking at tape? And if you do, what are you looking for?
Everything. Just the way that they move, the way that they punch. I try to figure out the timing on it and just – see who they are, how they move, how tough they are, what kind of situations make them uncomfortable. And I try to piece together like what can I do from the footage that I watched to try to figure out a game plan to handle the situation the best.
Gotcha. Who's been your hardest opponent so far and what made him hard?
A guy named Jonathan Gary. I fought him on our last fight.
Okay.
And just he had a lot of experience, and he's tough, man. He was a really tough guy, and just he was really knowledgeable, and he's a really good opponent. Really good.
Now, did you win that one or?
No, he beat me by decision. He
beat you by decision.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fight that you'd want to, if it happened again?
I would definitely work harder to be able to prepare for it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And so that would be the difference, is just kind of maybe just spending a little bit more time.
Yes, sir.
Is that more harder learning who he is as a boxer, or just hard on you, just get more prepared, your body, your swings, your mental game?
More of a mental game, just understanding of how someone's going to approach you, because fighting somebody with a lot of experience like that, you can see the difference in just the way that they fight. You know, it's more of a smarter game instead of a game of just aggression or brutality.
Gotcha. What drives you to get back in the ring? Like, because it's a pretty brutal sport, right?
Yes.
What is it that you just enjoy about it? Is it just the competitiveness of it?
Just, I can't explain it. It's a way that it makes me feel that nothing else has ever given me. And to be able to do that and use that to come back here and to do something positive with it makes it even better. And it gives my children something to look up to. And they might not ever fight in their life, but at the same time, it lets them see that, you know, there's something that's in them that's tough, that's got that fight in it.
Yeah, no, that's good. Now, talking about, you mentioned just now coming back to Guthrie, you did leave. You went and lived in you were still in the metro area, but didn't live in Guthrie.
Yes, sir.
You come back. What were some things that you saw that was different about Guthrie than the other places that you lived that made it a little bit special and unique?
Man, it's just the people here are what makes it different.
Yeah.
Because you can go just, you know, 20, 30 miles south, and it's a whole different world just with the way that the people interact with each other and how they are. You know, when you're driving down the road and somebody waves at you and you actually know who it is. And, you know, most people don't leave their doors unlocked at night, but you really could hear it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too terrible of a situation.
Yeah.
You know, just that feeling of being at home the second you get off on exit 57.
Yeah.
157.
Yeah. That's good. That's so good. Okay. Now I got some questions. These are just kind of some rapid questions. You don't have to go real deep into these, but just some fun questions that, I put together but I didn't send these to you. So, okay. These will be kind of cool. Now, are you a coffee or a tea guy?
Coffee.
Are you putting something in your coffee?
No, I'm drinking it black.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about. People put, that ain't coffee y'all drinking when you put stuff in it.
Nah.
Yeah, no, my wife be putting all kinds. I'm like, girl, that is not coffee anymore. That's ice cream. That's something else. Now, are you an early bird or a night owl?
Oh, both.
Oh, you can do either one?
No, I do both.
She said, I'm night owl, but I still got to get up early.
Yes, sir.
What time do you got to be at work?
Right now, we're on our regular schedule, so we don't have to be there until 8, but usually I wake up at 3:30, so that way I can get my training in and make sure I'm prepared to leave for the day. And usually I stay up pretty late because after I get off work, I have to do my training, and I'll have some guys come over and we'll work out. And I always make sure that after that, I still spend time with my family and,
gotcha.
Do the family thing. And
Yeah, that's good. What's one thing on your bucket list?
Skydive.
Wow. Okay. You know you can do it over in Cushion.
Oh, I know. I've been planning on it. Just waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah. Good luck. My buddy asked me to do it when he turned 40, I think. And I can't remember. Something came up. But I was going to do it. But, man, I am so scared of heights.
I probably will be scared, too. But I still want to do it.
Yeah. Let me know when you do it. I might do it. I might do it with you.
Might be something we have to do on the podcast.
Yeah. Recording while we're doing it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we definitely can mic up.
Snag a GoPro and just kind of.
And just go for it. Yeah. No, that's true. Okay, would you rather travel to the future or the past?
To the past.
Really?
To the past.
Why the past?
Because I'd like to see what everyone before this time had to go through to get here.
Yeah.
And it'll kind of give you like a little bit more appreciation for what you have and where you are.
That's cool. What's one hidden talent you possess?
One hidden talent. I'm a pretty decent cook.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
Man, I got a bunch of kids. It's spaghetti. It's always something that can like knock it out easy, but I'm pretty good with it.
Yeah, spaghetti is definitely something that you can eat that can feed a lot of people.
Yes, right? Sir.
And it's not that expensive either. What's one superpower you wish you had?
One superpower. Probably never get tired.
Man, imagine if you never got tired in the boxing ring.
Never had to sleep and you could just continuously go. Think about how much work you could get done.
Why did I just get tired thinking about never? I just feel like there's no way that I would not get tired if I never slept. But I guess if you never had to sleep, you never had to sleep. So, now, do you have a most embarrassing moment that you can share?
Let me see. Okay, well, for a while, though, like we were talking earlier, you said you met my mom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she can't stand the fighting. It drives her crazy, but she likes them doing something positive.
Yeah.
But it took a while for her to come, and the first fight she came to, yeah, it was bad. It was ugly. That's probably one of my more embarrassing moments. That's a long car ride home. Like, Mama, look, I promise I'm better than this.
You didn't get spanked too bad, did you?
Oh, man, that guy was good. He's really talented. Yeah. The guy was 6'4".
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. 6'4"?
Yes, sir.
What is it like to, like, at your height, having to fight somebody that tall? Like,
I'm 5'4", man. Everybody's taller than me.
Yeah. Just true. What is that like? Yeah, 6'4" seems like that's a...
It is, but, you know...
Yeah.
If people pay to watch it, you know, I'll do the best I can to put on a good show for them.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, Mike Tyson was the same way. Mike Tyson wasn't that tall.
Yeah, he was 5'9", I think.
Yeah, and he had some tall opponents, like Buster Douglas. I think he was relatively 6'3". Tall. Yeah, relatively tall. So, what's a small act of kindness that had a big impact on you?
A small act of kindness? Anytime I'm running down the road and somebody honks at me or waves, that goes a long way. Because a lot of times, 5 minutes after I leave my house, I'm contemplating calling a ride and just turning around. Yeah. But it's something about when the people, especially the ones around here that support me, that show me that love, it keeps me going.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. If you could write a note to your younger self, what would you say?
Powerball numbers.
I never heard that one before. That's good. What's something you're most grateful for?
My children.
Okay, gotcha. Favorite childhood cartoon?
Batman.
Why Batman?
Because Batman was a human. Like, Batman was a regular person. He didn't have any powers. He didn't, you know, he had money, but that only goes so far.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
out there getting beat on every night, then coming back and starting over and doing it again.
Yeah, and he had to work through some stuff. You know, Batman's always having to work through some stuff. All right, call or text?
Text.
You didn't have to think about that one. You didn't have to think about that. Okay, so we use the hashtag community wins around here. Chamber has it, War Community Wins. What does that mean to you?
It means everything because this is an amazing community. Like I've said before, just it's really hard to believe until you see it how much support you can get from this community.
Yeah.
It really is a beautiful thing.
That's good. All right. So last question, choose Guthrie. What does that mean?
It means more than just choosing Guthrie. It's choosing the people here and choosing the future for here and the direction that this town's going to go in. And you know, I stand behind it and I support everything that you're doing. And this is awesome. Just being able to put the spotlight on people here and our little local town.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, man. Albert, I appreciate you jumping on with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me here.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts? Do you want to look at the camera and tell people we're having America something?
We're having our next fights March 23rd at the Logan County Fairgrounds. I hope everybody comes out. It's going to be a great show.
Cool. Go check them out. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Guthrie America Podcast. We are on a mission to have every story told. Here's the question. Will yours be next?